I do have a few announcements that I'm going to make here, and well, really, just one particular one. And first of all, I want to make a comment about our men's breakfast that was Saturday morning. I want to thank all the men here at the church that came and being a part of that. We need to come together more and more, and thank you for your participation in that. And it was a good day. It was a good day. We had several. I think we had about 20, I think it was, that came from the Bulwer Center. And we had a good word that was given to us from Brother Darrell back there. And then we had input that came from different brothers in the church here. And I just want to say thank you for that, and that we just praise God for that. Praise God for all the good seeds. Good seeds planted in people's hearts and lives, and we continue to do more of that. And I want you to remember, and I want you to mark down November the 2nd, Saturday in November the 2nd, is going to be our Man of the Spirit Men's Conference, okay? This is on Saturday. This will be November the 2nd. Mark your calendar. Put in for your time off work, whatever else that you need to do there, and plan to be there. This is November the 2nd. We'll put out a sign-out sheet come in October. We'll start we'll have fellowship and refreshments that will be about 8:30 in the morning for about 9. We're going to have lunch. We'll have some breaks. We'll have some good stuff. I will be doing some teaching in the Word of God. We'll have special music. We'll have some testimonies as well. And some surprise things that maybe happen. And then we're going to have a good lunch, and we'll go to around 2 o'clock. That's November the 2nd. So thank you for doing that and planning that. And, you know, if you will be signing up here in October. Glory to God. Let's go to Romans, if we can, Romans chapter 1. And I tell you, you know, there was a certain characteristic to our worship this morning, and that I felt a particular theme, and it has even to do with the word of the Lord. We're going to do our, you know, this is our miracle prayer request table down here. If you're here and you're not familiar with it, that's what this is down here. And there should be sheets like this that are before you, that if you want to take one and you've got a prayer request, then you write that down here and you bring it up here. We pray over this table continually. We will continue to pray about all the things that are on that table. We're not reading them or looking through them. You can be as intimate as you want to be. That's not the point. The point is the hand and the power of Almighty God. That is the point. We are doing this again this Sunday, now, today. We will be making faith proclamations here in just a little bit as we look at the Word a little bit here. And then we will do it again in December, okay? We will be doing this again in December, that we're asking for miracles from the hand of Almighty God. Well, I said that, and this is in, we'll go to Romans in chapter 1, and we'll be looking at the word there, the power of God, the power of God. I don't know, this is a different kind of message that the Lord put on my heart. You know, this is the kind of message that, I don't know, maybe more, appears to be more evangelistic, but it just may be more foundational of the salvation of Almighty God. And what I heard this morning in my spirit as we were worshiping and praising God is the spirit of intimacy was among us, that the spirit of intimacy was among us. And this was being reflected through our worship because it was being manifested by the presence of Almighty God. That you need to know that God wants to have an intimate fellowship and an intimate relationship with you. And I don't care if you've given your heart to Jesus and you know what I'm saying and you've been walking in it. I want you to know that I don't believe there's a limit to how intimate the Lord wants to be to you and I, because His Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for you and me as a sacrifice for our sins, that you and I could be made the righteousness of God. You know, and this was all because of one motivation. We had words that came forth today here, and that words that we had, and both of them were about the love of God. And this is what happens when you get saved. Well, you know, this is a biblical term, about getting saved. I said that one time, this was years ago, and this young lady, and I said, about getting saved, and she started laughing at me. Saved, what do you mean saved, She didn't realize that it was a biblical term in the first place. But number two is that we're saved from our sins. Jesus saves, and he saves you, and he saves me from our sins. And this is what the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. I'll read this if you'll look with me here. Just a second here as I turn over here. And this is in Romans chapter 1. And you know this word very well. But it says right here in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." And who receives this power of God? It's for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm going to read on in verse 17 in just a minute. But I know that that's a very well-known verse of Scripture. But the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, he talks about, "I'm not ashamed of it, for within the gospel, is the power for salvation." It bothers my heart because I see a lot that has turned into, really, in churches, it's become a good works salvation. A lot of people take on a philosophy of, Jesus is our example. He's more than an example. He's the gateway. He's the gateway into the salvation of Almighty God. No, he's not someone that is an example for us to aspire to be like. No, he brings the transforming power of Almighty God. And this is the foundation of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about being a good person. It's not about doing good things. It's not about having good philosophies and good values. All of that is great and all of that is wonderful, but none of it will wash your sins away. Only by the power of the blood of Jesus can your sins be washed away. And then according to the word of the Lord, that he brings that great salvation into your life and to my life. We're transformed by the power of God, by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see the way that all of this happened that we find right here. For example, come over here in verse 4. I'll go back to verse 16 in just a minute. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Who also," this is about the Lord Jesus, "who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead." Now look at this. "According to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." It's hard to imagine. Only can be revealed by the Holy Spirit, the love of God. I can talk to you about it, but there's more that God wants to do than somebody just telling you that God loves you. He wants to reveal his love to you in your heart and in your life. And as he reveals his love to you, it becomes the controlling factor of everything that about you. And this is what happens when one gets saved. One becomes alive unto God. Until you get saved and born again by the Spirit of God, come into this great salvation and this power, this resurrection life, this power of Almighty God comes into your life as it did with Jesus. And Jesus had given his life. And then he was judged, and he was found innocent of any guilt, and the grave couldn't hold him any longer. And he was raised because of the Spirit of holiness, is what the word of the Lord says there in verse 4. And he was made the Lord over all. It is this power that comes into the life of the believer. Oh, you may not be transformed and changed overnight in all of your ways and all of your habits and everything about you, but there's one thing that begins to happen that's happened on the inside of you, and it comes in the twinkling of an eye in a moment, and that is the love of God comes into your heart. And you find that your sins have been washed away, and the burden of guilt and of condemnation and the heaviness of darkness is lifted away from you. and there's something that has happened that's transformed on the inside of you that sometimes it even becomes difficult to express to others. This is the salvation of Almighty God. I fear that there are going to be many, many that are going to raise their eyes and they take their last breath and they're going to raise their eyes in the pit of hell, because they never experienced the true salvation of Almighty God. They knew the right answers. They knew the gospel lingo because they just heard it over and over. But they never repented of their sins. They never gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They just adapted the ways of God on top of themselves. And the one thing that they never did is they never surrendered up their selves. I fear there'd be many do-gooders, good philosophy, good people, because it hasn't got anything to do with how good that you are. You know, that's one thing, that when someone will not surrender their whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, they still hold on to a little bit of that self-righteous pride within themselves, that I'm good enough, or that I'm as good as the next guy. And you may even be better than the next guy as far as that's concerned. You know, people use excuses. Well, I'm as good as those that go up there at that old church up there. Well, you may be, and you may even be better. But it's not your goodness that allows you to experience the salvation of Almighty God. Jesus and Jesus alone paid the price for your sins. No, we don't become perfect. And I'm not making excuses like that. That's been held on for way too long. You know, excuses to walk after sin. You know, Christians are not perfect. No, they're not perfect, but I'll tell you the one thing they got in their heart. They got a heart and they got a desire that burns within them that they want to walk in the perfection of Almighty God. That's one thing that they have that burns in their hearts, because what rules their heart is a desire to be pleasing unto the Lord. We wrestle with many things, you know, that go on in our lives. But there's a starting point. And, you know, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, born again by the Spirit of the living God. Let me read this to you. This is in, just listen to it. It's in John 3, verse 3. And Jesus answered, and he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't earn this. You can't do anything to deserve it. You can't make yourself better. It's not about being better. It's not about doing better. It's about the salvation of Almighty God. It's about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That, Lord Jesus, that you did this for me. Sometimes people have a hard time really surrendering to just the way of faith, just the way of believing the Lord. But this is the way we receive the salvation of God, is that we believe upon the Lord. Now, let me give you back up here in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation." That word power, that's the Greek word dunamis. It's the same one that we find in Acts chapter 1. It talks about when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word power, dunamis, it means the power of God. It means might. It means the strength. And it's not talking about strength in your flesh. It's not talking about strength in your own constitution. It's not talking about strength of will. It's talking about the power of Almighty God. It's the strength of Almighty God that brings the transforming power of Jesus into your life. This is the gospel message of hope for the church to a lost and dying world. It's not reform. It's not a code of ethics. It's not living better. It's not being better. It's not doing good as much as you can. There's no salvation in any of those things. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. And Jesus alone, where Jesus transforms your life. He transforms your life. He changes you, and you begin to walk with the Lord. You begin to follow the Lord with all of your heart, and He begins to manifest that transforming power to where you become more like Jesus and less fleshly, ungodly, wicked, and worldly. You know, there are three major powers that seeks to rule our lives that we're delivered from in the Lord Jesus Christ that makes up the character and the nature and the way of the flesh. And you can add to each of these categories the way that you would want to because they finger out into other directions. But number one is a spirit of anger. A spirit of anger. You know, this is a characteristic of living and walking after the flesh, is having a spirit of anger. It can be internalized or it can be demonstrated. Doesn't make any difference. You know, and then number two is a spirit of unforgiveness. A spirit of unforgiveness. And number three is a spirit of jealousy. You know, and this is what rules over the heart of men and in the flesh. And it rules over the rich and it rules over the poor alike. And deceptions come into the hearts of those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think if they obtain to this or they obtain to that, that it will give them the happiness that they seek. That they know that they're unhappy deep down. They just don't really understand why they're unhappy. You know, and they engage in various, you know, entertainments and in this and of that and indulgences, thinking that those things, and they will relieve a man for a moment in his time. For a moment and for a season. And then there's a vicious cycle that goes on. Then he's got to find something else. Got to find a new toy. He's got to find a new hobby. He's got to find a new entertainment. He's got to, and this is a subconscious thing that he doesn't even know, that he's got this running from God that is going on the inside of him. He doesn't even think about it as being running from God, but he's really running from God. And he's got to be preoccupied, because there's something on the inside that is not filled, that is not satisfied, and he don't even really know fully what it is. What it is the love of God. It's the love of God. Because this is what happens when one is born again by the Spirit of God, is that we become alive unto God. Because see, the word of the Lord says that our sins separate us from God. That's why before you give your heart to Jesus, you know, you have no knowledge of God. You see people love the Lord. You see people testify about the Lord and this and that. But it's not on you. You have no knowledge of God. You see people around you talk about this and that, but it's not the experience that you are having. But then when you open up your heart, and you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because that's what it means to believe. It's not an intellectual believing. It's not an acknowledgement of an intellect that says, oh, because see, there's no giving, there's no surrender, there's no heart. It's all intellectual. But you will never find Jesus by believing in him intellectual. He wants you. And it's the surrender of your life. It's the surrender of self. See, there's many hold on to self. They hold on to self. You know, you can have yourself or you can have the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but you won't be able to have them both. You won't be able to have them both. That's the essence of the sinful nature. The essence of the sinful nature is that I live for me. You may live a very wicked and evil and sinful, indulging life in self, but you may not. You may be very, very good and very noble in your attitudes and in your philosophy and in your interaction and in your ways. You may be have a lot of wonderful attributes about you, but the one thing that you still have deep down in your life is that you still hold on to living for self. When Adam and Eve, the very thing, when they sinned, the first thing they had was they had self-consciousness. You know, they became aware that they were naked. And they did not have that awareness until they had sinned before God. And then all of a sudden, there was a self-awareness that had never, ever been there. They weren't self-aware. They were God-aware. And when they fell, and the very essence of that fallen nature is not behavior, it's who we are. I want to say that again. The very essence of that fallen nature is not what we do, not our actions, but it's who we are. We live for ourselves. This is called living in the way of the flesh. This is in the flesh. This is a life lived in the flesh. I fear there's many have a philosophy of Jesus, but they don't have an encounter with Jesus. They don't have a reality of Jesus. They've not had a supernatural work by the power of God that saves their soul, where all of a sudden an enlightenment came into them. An enlightenment. They didn't ever have that enlightenment ever before. And that enlightenment was an enlightenment of God. You know, glory to God. You know, He's come into my life. I have an awareness that I never had before. I had something I can't explain about myself and my mentality and my way, but He's there. And that's that salvation of Almighty God. This is the power of God. That word believe, it means to believe or to entrust. You know, that it implies that you give yourself. You give yourself. You give up self. You give up self. Jesus is not only your Savior, but He becomes your Lord. It's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, you'll have to have the need of repentance many times in your life, you know, that you'll walk after. You know, there will be hard times and hard places. There will be defeats and there will be failures. But somehow, some way, all along that way, there is a working out of the will of God and the way of God and the glory of God, the strength of the Lord, the presence of God. And there's increase that keeps coming into your life by that power of Almighty God. Increase keeps coming into your life. Oh, it may not come all the way that we'd like for it to come. Maybe not near as fast as we'd like for it to come. But here it comes. And it continues to work. And because He works out His ways in us. And then we begin to bear that fruit of that heart, of that mind, of that character and that nature, that love and that compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just begins to come out more and more and more and more and more. And this is the work of the salvation of Almighty God. Now, there's another part here so that you'll have this understanding. This is verse 17. It says, for in it the righteous... Now, this, look here. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. All right, then it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now here's verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God. Now you see this? The righteousness of God is revealed. And how does that righteousness of God, how is it revealed? Another place it says made manifest. I'll show you that in a minute. But how is it revealed? Then it says from faith. Now look here, from faith to faith. Now look at this, just as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. It's always been the way of God. You can't earn it before the Lord, but you can bear its fruit. You can bear its fruit. And the way that you bear its fruit is you let God have His way with you. Let me tell you in this real quick, and then I want to go to another verse here. And notice that it's from faith to faith. That is from faith to faith. God brings you and I into saving faith, and then He moves us on. And there's an increase of the faith of God. As you believe on God, there's something else that is unexplainable that happens to us. And that is that faith begins to grow. It begins to grow. It begins to widen. It begins to expand. And you know, there is a work that takes place in my heart and my mind, and where I believe God more, and that I can believe Him for more. And that's why I say, you know, we walk by faith, and this is the foundation of our covenant. We are saved on the basis of faith through grace. The grace of God comes into our lives as we believe on the Lord. Not just to get saved, but as we believe upon the Lord and we live by faith and we walk by faith. As we walk in the faith of God, then what's going to happen by the power of the Spirit of God is grace grows. It grows and it becomes more and more and more glory, more power, more of the mind of God, more of being convinced. Even in the midst of, we were singing about it, even in the midst of the storm, being convinced, being established in a great faith and a mighty faith to be able to believe God in the fullness of the Lord for all that God has granted to you and I in the kingdom of God. Now this is a key element here in experiencing the power of God in this salvation. In verse 10, it says, as Paul was writing, he said this, he says, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Now that's a mouthful. I want you to see that, first of all, is that, you know, he's talking about the will of God here. You know, this is the key to advancement in the kingdom. This is the key to receiving the blessings of the kingdom and the power of Almighty God. As we walk and we live in a pathway to where we surrender ourselves to do and to find and to live in the will of God more and more and more. This is what brings about true spiritual maturity in your life. This is the thing that God is after in your life, in my life, in a greater measure, in a greater way. Now, he's lifting this up. Look at this. Always in my prayers. Look at this, making request. You know, so in other words, you understand that the Apostle Paul was completely surrendered to the will of God. Now, I want you to understand something about the will of God. It's not just simply, you know, well, I will go be a missionary in Africa, or I will go and do this, the will of God. And we even use it in the church. Even people use it as a catchphrase. Well, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise, or whatever. You know, well, we'll do this, we'll do that. Well, God willing. And they don't mean anything about it whatsoever. It has no meaning to them in any form or any fashion. It's just something that they've learned to say. But we're talking about in a heart here, in a heart that's surrendered to the will of God. Yes, it has to do with life assignments. It has to do with life destinies. Yes, it has to do with that. But it gets a little bit more intimate. It has to do with the will of God in my actions. It has to do with the will of God in my behaviors. It has to do with the will of God in the way that I think. It has to do with the will of God in the words that I say. A surrendered life. And this is what Jesus said, I don't do anything and I don't say anything unless I first hear it from the Father. Are you hearing that? I don't do anything. I don't say anything. Jesus never acted independent to the will of the Father. This is what it means for the will of God. This is where you'll find your prayers answered as well. Because you see that he'll bring us through whatever we're wrestling with, whatever we're dealing with, whatever's going on with us. He'll bring us to the conclusion. He'll bring us to the answer. He'll bring us to the knowledge. He'll bring you to the wisdom. He'll bring you to the enlightenment. He'll bring you to the fulfillment. You have to be surrendered up to give into the will of God. And you'll find the power of the salvation that he's talking about right here as a believer. What you find with many people is what they live in is they still live in that spirit of self. I fear for those people. I fear for them. Because that's the very work of the salvation of God. Oh, do we wrestle with the flesh? Yes, we do. Do we get selfish? Yes, we do. But we know when we've done wrong. We know when we've sinned before God. We know when we don't have a right attitude or we don't have a right mind, and we repent. Well, it may take you a few days, may take you more than a few days. It may be a work that God is doing in your life, and it takes a work of walking with Him through whatever it would be. But the heart and the will and the desire of the born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to do the will of God. Matter of fact, that is the essence. That is the essence of this new man that you and I have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Now, I want you to just listen carefully. That's spoken in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 8. It says, sacrifices and offerings for sin thou hadst not desired. You know, and that's the way that they found atonement. You know, and that was the way of being right with God, as was through sacrifices and through offerings. But we no longer live under that covenant, but we live in the new man of the Lord Jesus Christ in the new covenant. And it goes on and says this in verse 9, behold, I have come to do thy will. Listen carefully. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Sacrifices and offerings is not what God wants from you or from me. But what He wants is what Jesus established in the new man that is your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a heart and a life that is being lived for the will of God. And this is how you find His fullness in all things. The power of the salvation of the Lord. Beatrice, why don't you come on up? As she comes, I'll read this. And this is also in John chapter 3 at verse 6. And it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born, listen, of the Spirit is spirit. Did you hear that? You cannot achieve the righteousness of God through the good works of the flesh, no matter how good that you are. And you may be better than most people. You may be better. I mean that for real. You may be better. May be better. But it misses the mark of the salvation of the Lord, which is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God comes as a gift because Jesus achieved the righteousness of God. He brought wickedness and evil and sin all to heal because He paid the price. It's hard to imagine the love of God. When this love comes into your life, it begins to rule over you. And your greatest desire is to be pleasing to the Lord, not do good works. Not do good works. It's about Jesus not being good. I'm going to say it again. It's not about being good. It's about Jesus. The ironic thing about all of that is being about Jesus, you'll end up being good. Would you get on this side right here? Okay. Hallelujah. Now we're going to come into our faith decorations. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. As we are proclaiming, we're making faith proclamation. Yes, go get the children. That would be wonderful. Thank you very much. As that's happening right now, let's just prepare our hearts. We'll prepare our hearts. We'll prepare our hearts for the miracle power of Almighty God. We're speaking these things over these prayer requests. We're standing in one accord, in agreement by faith. There may be some things released here that might pertain to you. And if that happens, my suggestion, by faith, reach out and grab a hold of it and claim it as yours, right? Because I think some of that will happen as we go on here. I had something in my heart. I said, this is the essence of the service has been the intimacy of God. Pursue him. Get your eyes off yourself. Jesus is not simply about making your life better. No, it's about being his. It's about serving the Lord. That's what it's about. And as you go along the way, he'll make your life better. He'll make your life better. Hallelujah. Praise his righteous and holy name. Thank you, Lord. One thing that, as I go through this, I want you to remember that at certain points I'll say, and everyone said, and when I do that, if you will repeat with me, amen, at that point. And so we will know that we come into agreement together. And so when I say, and everyone said, we receive the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit here this morning in the holy, righteous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare these things in Jesus' name. May the good and the rich blessing of the Lord be upon your holy people today. May the love, grace, and peace of God be upon us all in Jesus' name. We, being of one accord, humble ourselves before your presence today. We confess Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. We present ourselves to be your servants in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, with your great power and glory, and glorify and magnify your holy and your righteous name. And everybody said, amen. These faith declarations and proclamations I make in the name of Jesus, we proclaim release to the captives in the name of Jesus. Let the yoke of affliction and bondage be broken in the name of Jesus. Let the bondage of unforgiveness now be broken, and the Spirit's power in that bondage be broken. We proclaim the goodness of the Lord over the lives of men and everyone represented here in these prayer requests on this table. We thank you, we praise you for imparting the blessing of the goodness of the Lord. Let the goodness of God, Lord, rain down now, O Lord God. No matter where they may be, no matter what they may be doing, we give you the glory and we give you the praise that, Father God, that you will captivate every heart, that you will captivate every life. O Lord God, that you will captivate every mind in the name of Jesus, that you, O Lord, will pour out your goodness. I proclaim the curse of misfortune to be broken in the name of Jesus over every life right here and every unfortunate thing that has taken place, every evil thing, every bad thing, every wicked thing, all the plots of darkness and the devil and the like, in the name of Jesus right now, that the affliction of misfortune be broken in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask that, O Lord, that the healing hand of the Lord would go forth. Father, as we lift up, O Lord God, all here, the Lord represented on this table, that in the name of Jesus, Father God, that, Lord, that the healing hand of the Lord and the miracle-working power of God would be released in the name of Jesus, O Lord God. O Lord, in every life, O Lord God, in every circumstance, in every condition, that in the name of Jesus, O Lord God, that there is no affliction that is too great for you, O Lord God. There's no such thing as a hopeless case in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let the healing hand of God be released. We proclaim healing in heart. We proclaim healing in body. We proclaim healing in mind. Let it come forth in the name of Jesus. I proclaim the healing hand of God over conditions of the skin, over rashes, over bumps, over growths, over blemishes in the name of Jesus. Conditions of the scalp and the hair and the head, let them be gone in the name of Jesus. Every heart ailment, every heart condition, every heart disease, we take authority over you and we command you to be loosed. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. And let the wellness of God come into every heart. Bodily weakness leave in Jesus' name. Bodily pain leave in Jesus' name. Infections. We take authority over every work of infection and every spirit of wickedness and evil of infirmity. We now take authority over you and we command that your infections be gone. Chronic diseases and sicknesses in the name of Jesus, you shall not stand. Amen. Against Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, incurable diseases, you will be removed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Back pain, be released. Amen. In Jesus' name. Yes. Back pain, be released in Jesus' name. All arthritic pain, arthritis and inflammation, be removed. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We say be released of every alcoholic spirit, drug addiction, sexual perversions, and promiscuity, and the like. We now say be released in the name of Jesus. The power of addiction, regardless of what the addiction would be. Oh, we take authority over addiction, and we break your power. We break your power. We break your power. We break your power. Take up your weapons and leave in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now that your mighty hand is on every situation of cancer. And that, Lord God, that the healing hand of the Lord right now, moving upon that cancer, be free and be released from cancer. Be healed of cancer. In the name of Jesus, let tumors be removed. Yes. In the name of Jesus, blood disorders be removed. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We proclaim the healing name of the Lord over every mental illness in Jesus' name. All works of insanity, we take authority over and we command you to be released in the name of Jesus. Every emotional issue, we lift up to you and we speak liberty, we speak freedom, and we speak soundness in the name of Jesus. Every personality disorder, oh, we command you to be made right in Jesus' name, be made sound in Jesus' name, and be made correct in the great name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let all darkness, all spiritual blindness, attitudes of indifference be released now.
Amen.
From the hearts and the minds and lives of men in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
And we're going to read from the book of Matthew chapter 16. I'll read verses 18 and 19. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And right now we're going to pray for salvation of souls. Yes, we pray for the salvation of souls in our neighborhood, in our country, in those we love. Father, we thank you that you're saving your people, because the word of God says salvation belongs to our God. Father, we call forth souls from every aspect of lives. Father, we call them forth from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. We call you forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we call salvation. We command bondages to be loosed in Jesus' name. Chains be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is holding the people from coming forth to salvation, we say be bound and be cast down in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, we call forth family members. We pray for family members. Father, we are praying for the lost sons out there, lost daughters out there. Lord, we have many of them that we have been crying to you for. We are calling them forth. We are calling them in. All the prodigals, come home. All the prodigals, come home.
Come home.
All the prodigals, come home. In
come
the
home.
Mighty name of Jesus. It's time. It's time to come home in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every family represented here. Lord, you know the need of each family. I'm calling forth your power and your presence to be released upon every family represented here. The Lord God, that your spirit will go in and infiltrate and turn things around. Overturn things
around
that need to be turned.
Turn things around for your glory,
O God Almighty.
In the name of Jesus.
We call you, our Lord God. We call to you concerning our family, Lord God. Some are not living together. Some are fighting. Whatever the case may be. Disagreements, misunderstandings, whatever there is, Lord, we ask your power, your power, your power, your power,
yes,
your power,
yes, yes,
your
Lord.
Power
yes.
To be released upon families, Lord God, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for setting your people free. Thank you for protecting our family members, all our loved ones. We give them to you, Lord. We ask for your mighty hand of protection upon each and every one of them. Father God, we thank you for opening eyes of your people. Lord God, that they may come to know you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. And everyone said,
amen. Amen. All right, Kathy, would you all come? Praise his holy name. Glory to the Lord. Let's just. That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be. They induced labor in the seventh month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds.